Amen. Well, I feel like I need to reintroduce myself because it's been quite a few weeks, since you've been able to see this glorious face in front of you. And so I'm Pastor Scott, okay? And I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to be back up here on this stage. I do want to be honest with you that I miss this. You may not miss it, but I miss this. I miss this connection, whatever this happens with us. And I love being a part of this. I love worshiping together. I love just seeing what God wants to do in us and through us. And so I'm glad to be back today as we start something new. But before we start something new, I do want to thank the three people, Danielle and James and Bradley, for speaking. If this is your first Sunday, we're just getting down a series called Whispers, and that was kind of a vulnerable series. It was kind of one of those series where you got to share something you've struggled with in life, and then to see how do you push truth back against the lies the enemy speaks to us. And so I hope those truths resonate with you. I hope there are truths that you're able to push back against the lies of the enemy as years in years to come. But I am thankful that we have voices in our church that are worthy to be heard from. And so today I come back and I'm like, hey, thanks to those three for doing it. But now we're back today and we're starting a new series. Now, it wasn't just the 3 weeks me wanting to for people to hear from those three voices. Actually, the first week of July, Amber, the kids, and I, we got to go on our yearly trek, our yearly voyage to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is something we look forward to every single year. You probably have your place, right? That, like, you can't wait to go to, you can't wait to experience, you can't wait to just, okay, I'm there. It kind of, you can kind of escape a little bit. You can kind of, It's a way to, I'm not in regular life anymore. You gear down a little bit. You know, maybe you spend money in a way that you forget you got bills at home to pay. You know, it's a great thing. You get your putt-putt on. Maybe you get your tan on. I'm not really appreciating a lot of people right now because we get back from Myrtle Beach and people compliment Amber and Jackson and Ellie on their tan, and then they ask me if I stayed in the house the whole time. I get it. I don't tan well. I don't know if it's a Canadian thing or a Scott thing, but sorry. This is all you got right here, okay? But I love being able to do that. I love you know, being able to just get away. Vacations are fun. Vacations are great. But you know how the saying goes. All good things must what? Come to an end. They must come to an end. On vacation, it's that last day. And you begin lamenting that how did the week go by so fast? Like it was just Monday and it's Saturday. And you begin to pack your things up. And you begin to wave goodbye to those places that give you memories and experiences, and there you go. But then something happens on the way home. Well, at least to me it does. When you're driving home or flying home, however you get back home, you start thinking about home. Do you? You know, like, okay, the vacation's done, and now I'm going home, so I start thinking about home. Maybe you begin to think about that animal, that pet that you've left, and some of you love your pets, and you're like, oh, I get to go home and be attacked by that dog that missed you the whole time, right? Or maybe for you it's your bed, where you're like, no bed sleeps like my bed. You know, it fits me, it's used to me, it calls to me, and so you get to go home to the bed after your time away. Maybe you get to see friends you get to come back to and you've missed. Maybe for you, you get back to church and you get to see that pastor you've missed, that favorite pastor. You can barely go a week without seeing that guy. It's a beautiful thing to go home. But either way, you get to go home to this life you've created, and it's a good thing you get to come home to. But maybe for some of you, you come home and you're thinking about home. And I want you to be able to be excited about what you're coming home to. But the question for the next few weeks is going to be, what if you can't say? What if when you're driving in to your house, and you've said goodbye to the memories and those experiences for that year, and you drive into the garage, or you drive into your driveway, or just wherever you live, and that moment you exhale, and that moment you get to say these three words, home, sweet home. Maybe for you, when you get home, you want to say those three words, home, sweet home. But maybe you can't. What if when you get home and you want to come in, you're in the driveway, and you're like, I want to say home, sweet home, but honestly, I can't do that right now. And maybe for you, it's not vacation. Maybe it's work. Maybe when you're coming home from work, you know, work has stressed you out, it's worn, you've got bosses, you've got clients, you've got customers, you've got employees, you got what, and you are leaving work and you're exhausted and you want to be able to say, home sweet home, but even when you leave work, you can't say, home sweet home. This is what I want to talk about for the next 3 weeks, because I want this to be what you can say about life. I want when you come home from work, when you come home from vacation, you be able to say home, sweet home. And maybe you can't, and maybe this is an always thing, maybe this is just a temporary thing, but when you come home, peace isn't found. Maybe rest isn't found. The life you've created for yourself is more filled with chaos and anxiety. It's more defined by heaviness than it is hope-filled. That joy is absent because it's been replaced with exhaustion. And you're like, yeah, Scott, vacations are great, and I really don't want to come home oftentimes. That's what this is going to be about for these next few weeks. How do we say home, sweet home? Because for most people, you have a dream of what life is going to be like. And then when you actually look at your life, many have to say, this isn't quite it. Now, maybe life isn't a complete disaster. You're not like, no, Scott, like, I can come home to it. That's okay. But maybe they're just parts. Maybe there's parts of your life that just keep causing you issues. Maybe there's parts that keep holding you back. Maybe there's just parts that just aren't working. And so it causes you to have that tension or that feeling of home doesn't quite feel like home, sweet home. So this series of teachings is designed to remind us that still hope can be found in the life that you're creating. Just because things maybe aren't perfect, they're not great, they're not what you dreamed of, they're not really home, sweet home, that there's still hope that can be found. Maybe you've become that person where now you've lost hope and you're like, this is just life, this is all it's ever going to be, and I'm just going to settle for it. That maybe during this time, God's going to speak to you and say, no, there's still more I have for you. And he wants to remind us that you don't just settle for where you find yourself in life. Just don't settle for the circumstances that now you are living in. You do not have to throw your hands up in the air and just say, this is all it's ever going to be. Now, I'm not making any promises. That's the thing with this, is like, okay, Scott, tell me how to get that dream life. How do I get back to the life I've always wanted? I'm not making any promises of what that actually is. All I'm saying is life just doesn't have to happen to you, because maybe life isn't the issue always. Yes, we have stuff. We've all got stuff that we deal with, and life comes with just messes sometimes. But maybe life isn't really the issue of why you can't say home, sweet home. Maybe the issue needs to be pointed at me, pointed at you, pointed at us. And we all needed to decide that we're going to take ownership of the life that we are going to create. I think God's waiting for us in that decision. I think hope's waiting for us in that decision. I think when we decide to take that ownership, on the other side of that, so much is waiting for us. So here's the picture I want you to think about. Here's the picture for the series I want you to think about. You see, the guys brought up this piece of work right here. You know, when this week, when I asked one of my friends, Drake, who works in our creative department, I said, Drake, can I have one of your big Lego sets that you build? Because Drake loves to build Lego sets. It doesn't matter big or small, he loves to build them. He loves the building process. And for those that don't know, this is what we call the Taj Mahal. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's it took 15 years, well, not this one, but the real one took 15 years to build. It was a place where a man built for his wife when she died. And as I've looked at that this week, my expectations for Amber have really grown. Amber, I want to be remembered, right? But the man built this for his wife, and this is impressive. Now, the real one's impressive, but this is also impressive. Drake, when building it, took over 12 hours to put this together. And as I saw this piece of Lego art this week, a thought came to my mind. A lot of people want the dream life, but few are willing to put in the work to build it. Do you know that? A lot of people want the dream life. Have you heard that phrase before at the Taj Mahal? Like, I'm going to build the Taj Mahal. When you say that, it's like something impressive, the dream, the expanse. That's what you build. And a lot of people want the dream life, but few are willing to put in the work to build it. I think if you want to be able to say home sweet home to the life of you that you've created, you have to be willing to put in the work to build it. The Taj Mahal was not built by accident or by luck. Someone, Drake, decided to sit down and build this. Now, one of the things that Lego does, I know you just saw the picture come up. One of the things that Lego does is they put incredible picture on the front of the box, right? Like, that's some good marketing right there, right? That's some good marketing they put on the front of the box. But can I tell you something? I'm not really that big of a Legos guy. I don't know if you're a Legos person or not. I'm not really that much of a Legos guy. Now, I think they're super cool. And I think that when they're built and when they're done, like, they're really impressive what people can do. I think the pictures on the box look great. But any time that I've sat down before with my kids, other people, and the Lego pieces are out there, it really stresses me out. Does it stress you out? Like, it's easy to see the picture on the box, and it's really cool. And I'd love to see, like, you know, like, when see the castle or the car or the city or whatever built, but it's another thing to actually sit down, take all these pieces and put them together and build it. It stresses me out. Because I think I'm like a lot of people. Everyone likes the idea of building something impressive, but few people are willing to put in the work to actually building it. To find people who are actually willing to put together something that's impressive in life, that's not easy to find. And this is honestly, listen to me, this honestly is where I think we find people's frustration in life. This is why I think so many people are frustrated in life. They see the desired picture and they want it. They see the picture on the box and they want it, but that's as far as it goes. There isn't the rolling up the sleeves. There isn't the putting in the work. There isn't the sacrifice, the integrity, the saying, I want that, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. There isn't doing the little things. To build something worth building, something significant, does not happen by accident. So today, the first day of our series, I have a question for you. With the life that you've created for yourself, now, everybody's life is going to be different. There's no cookie cutter lives. Like, everybody in here has a different life. But with the life that you've created for yourself, can you, in honesty, emotionally, like, can you say, home sweet home? Can you say how these pieces are put together in your life? What you've created, home sweet home. Now, if you can, great. And I want to ask you to be an encouragement to other people. I want to ask you to mentor. I want you to invest in other people. But if there's some of you here today, which I think there is, that maybe you want something more, something else. And maybe that's not wholesale everything, maybe just parts. Something that's missing. Something that's just not coming together. Something that's leaving you feeling that tension, that anxiety, that exhaustion. Today's the day. Today's the day that I want you to say, okay, I'm going to make the decision on what I'm going to build. Now, understand that your home may not look like something else. Your life may not look like somebody else's, and that's the good thing about God. Not all homes in the neighborhood look alike. Not all homes, lives are supposed to look alike. But there's a life that's designed for you. Maybe you think this morning you have been forgotten and you didn't get the memo on your life supposed to being something of importance. That's why I think in Psalm 127, I like that the author says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. That, like, God has something for us. He has something for you. He has something for me. But who's going to build it? Who are you letting build it? Can I be a little cheesy for you this morning? And you can't hold this against me, okay? God is the great builder. God is the great builder. And he wants to build something for you and me, something in you and me. He wants to do it together with us. And maybe it's going to be different than something you thought it was going to be. Maybe you're in the phase in life and you're like, this looks nothing like, and almost like there's, like, I can't get back to that place. Well, I don't know what your life is supposed to be like, but I think there's a life that's perfectly designed for you. And God has the ability to redesign, build something with you. A life where you can find rest and hope. A life where you can find joy and satisfaction. A life where purpose is seen. A life that allows you to come home from work, come home from vacation, where you're able to say what? Home, sweet home. So where do we get started? Where do we get started with this? How does that building process look? Well, this is where I'm going to bring up one of my friends. Today, we've got some amazing kids from KidSpot. Amazing kids. Today is one of those days we do three times a year, where we bring the kids in from KidSpot, and we do this for a reason. We love that the kids can see the adults worship, the adults can see the kids worship, that we get to see our church as a whole. I always remind you during these Sundays that this is our church. It's not just what happens in here is the most important, or what happens in the other end is most important. It's everything. This is our church family. And we get to be together. And so I've invited one of my friends from KidSpot to come join me. His name is Liam Weathersby. Liam, why don't you come up here, bud? And I got a chair for you I'm going to grab. Come on, bud. You ready for this, man? I'm bringing Liam up with me. And just grab that chair, bud. You can grab the chair. You've heard what I've been saying, right? And I want people to see what this building process looks like, right? Like, that's the goal today. And I want people to see that, okay? Little tidbit about Liam. The reason he's up here is because about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't know, I forget, bud. Remember that first time we met? Is at camp. And we sat and talked for like an hour. And so when I was thinking, what kid do I want to bring up? Like, Liam and I have had these conversations in the past. And I want to have another one with you today, all right? Okay, so all these people here, look at these people, love you. We're good together, okay? So what we're going to do is to start out this process of building so people can connect with this. I've got something in here, right? Okay, so in here are three different boxes. okay? And I want you to choose one of these Lego sets, okay? We got this one, right? Okay, we got that one. We've got this one right here, okay? And then we've got this third one, third box right here, this one. I want you to choose one, okay? I want you to choose one. And remember, you get to keep whatever box you choose today, but you got to share it with your family, yeah? Okay, so you got to choose which one do you want. You go on that one? Okay, grab it. You got it. Grab it. Okay, that's your choice, okay? So this is the one. So you just chill right there. So here's the deal. When building this life, here's the first thing you need to know, is you have to choose the design. Do you see these right here today? You can keep yours right there. You have to choose the design. Liam had a choice. And he had to make that choice to decide what he was going to build. You've been to the Lego stores before, right? You've been to Lego stores?
I've been to stores that have Lego.
Perfect. Okay, so, and you know how that looks, right? Like there's just walls of Legos, and there's so many choices that you can make. It can be overwhelming sometimes because there's so many you want, right? Like you had three choices, you're like, I don't know which one. I want all three, right? So it can be tough, but you have to choose because here's the deal. In order to enjoy one of these sets, you have to choose one. In order to build one of these sets, you have to choose one. This is the problem in life. Can I tell you, this isn't the problem in life. One of the challenges we face is we have so many choices in life that you can build. So many choices of how life can be built. You're like, which one do I choose? But I think if you look at life, it basically breaks down to three different models, categories, however you want to put it, to choose from. And this is where you can go to your notes. Is I think if you, when choosing a design, you can choose the model we see around us. You can choose the model you see around us. Liam, this is what happens is people look around in life and they're like, oh, I like the picture on the box, what I see. And I look and I go, I want that picture just like that person. Oh, I want that person. We see around like that picture looks so good. And we're like, I want to model life after that. So we begin to run after the picture that we see around us. We get that view of people who maybe have more than us. People that look happier than us. We look around us and we're like, I want that design. And we can pursue that. Or the second one, as we just choose no model at all. Have you seen in the stores before, man, where they don't have pictures in the box, they're just like a bunch of pieces, right? And you can kind of build whatever you want to build. And this is what sometimes people do, is they don't choose a model at all, and they just take one piece at a time, and they don't know what they're trying to build. They're just building anything. So they take one piece and put it on, take another piece, put it on, take another piece, put it on. Like, I don't really want to commit to anything. I don't really want to go after anything. I don't want any model. I don't want to be told how to live. I don't want to do any specific design. I just want to kind of go one piece at a time. But then there's a third one. And I think the third one is kind of like, you know, most of us in this room. You're here for a reason, right? That like you want to do things God's way so we can choose God's model. But you know what's great about choosing God's model? Is there's a picture on the box. There's a picture on the box. Maybe I thought of this before, Liam. There's a picture on the box. And it's what inspires our see, feel, and act that you see around with our stuff in our cafe, maybe in the front office. You've been Discover Track. You see the see, feel, and act like Jesus. It comes from 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. There's a picture on the box of how this is to be lived. Now, this may seem cliche. And honestly, yeah, I get it kind of is. But the reality is, I think this is where people go so wrong. This simple step, this is where people go wrong, because with our mouths, we can say we want to be like Jesus. With our mouths, we can say we want to model our life out after our Jesus has told us to. But to be honest, we're not doing it. This is where we go wrong, this first step. We go wrong because maybe we can't say home sweet home because we just pay lip service to living our life like Jesus. But in reality, we're choosing option one or option two. We're choosing, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I want to live like my life like Jesus. But really, as a side gig, I'm trying to really follow that picture on the box. I want to live like Jesus, but I really want that to be my life. I want to be known. I want to be rich. I want to be happy that way. I want to find contentment over here. This is what we do. We pay lip service, but in reality, we're choosing option one or option two. Now, Liam, you know, I think you're a special kid. And I've been praying for you before we came up here because the reality is, I hope as you get older that you know the person you want to be. You know the life that you'll figure out the life you want to live. And I'm hoping that the design of life that you choose is nothing less than God saying, God, I want to live like Jesus lived. That will be the goal. That will be the design that you choose in life. Okay, but we're not done, okay? So you got to choose a design. In order to build a life, you got to choose a design. So we're there. But what else do we have to do? What else is in that box? Other than the pieces, what else is important in that box? Check it out. Check it out. Pull it out. What do you got? Oh, let's see what we got. Pull it out. Yeah. What are those?
The instructions.
The instructions. So you got to read the instructions. You want to build something, you choose a design, but then you have to read the instructions. It's one thing to have a desire to build the Lego set. But to build it without some help, that's tough. To know how these pieces go together. When you open this box, there's a lot of pieces in there. There's a lot of things that you got to go together. And you may have a guess at where some pieces. Liam's a smart kid. He probably got some guesses of where pieces go. But in reality, is you have to figure out how do we put those pieces together. And to do that, we have to read the instructions. Our lives are complicated. Is your life complicated? Are there a lot of pieces in your life you got to figure out how the pieces go together? Do you find yourself waking up and saying, how are these going to come together? Some of the pieces are really important. Some of the pieces are just normal every day. But do you find yourself wondering, how do I get these pieces to come together? Well, there is specific ways, I think. I think there's a design of the way pieces of your life are going to come together to figure out that there's a sequence of how these pieces align if you're going to live the way your Savior lived, if you're going to live the way Jesus lived. But like I said above, what did I say? There's a picture where? On the box. There's a picture on the box. And we see this in a story that was read to many of us as a kid, just a young kid. If you grew up in church, you probably heard this little word picture from Jesus found in Matthew chapter 7. Okay, I'm going to read this to you today. Tell me if you heard this before. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fail because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain comes down, the streams come up, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Now, this is a pretty popular analogy. You heard this as a kid. Heard this as an adult. You heard this story before. Who's heard this one? Right? We know this. You know what the problem with this? You have heard it? The problem with this is many times in life we pluck that little analogy, that word picture, out from Scripture. We pluck it out and we have it as a standalone. And actually, it was never designed to be that way. It's not just a word picture of many times as a kid, I was like, okay, I want to build my house on the rock, so I need to get saved. But that's true. I need to love Jesus. Yeah, that's true. But there's something even better, bigger going on with this story. If you look back before Matthew chapter 7, you will see that the most important, maybe the best sermon ever spoken was spoken by Jesus. starting in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus gives a sermon which basically spells out how life is to be lived. He gives us instructions for life in Matthew 5 through 7. Talks about prayer. Hear me on this. He talked about money. Talked about worry, judging, giving to the needy. Like, he talks about things in life. Where and how do you find happiness? It's laid out right there. Instructions for life. Words on how our lives are to be built. This is why Matthew 7, verse 24, starts with, therefore. Therefore. There, if you put into practice what I just spoke in Matthew 5, in that sermon, therefore, if you put that into practice, when life comes at you, it won't crash. When life comes at you, it won't fall down. When life comes at you, you're going to be okay. Or for our purposes today, Liam, if you want to be able to say home sweet home, therefore put his practices in your life. Therefore put Matthew 5 through 7 into practice in your life. So when life comes at you, you won't say, oh, I hate life. I hate where I am. No, you can say home sweet home in the midst of circumstances. This is what I'm going to ask you to do this week. Will you read Matthew 5 through 7 in completion at some point this week? Will at one point this week, will you start in Matthew 5 and read through 7 to the point where it says, therefore, if everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice, you'll be like the wise man who built the house on the rock. Will you read the instructions? Lastly, Liam, here's the deal. You got to choose the design, bro, right? You got to read the instructions, right? Third one. Know what it is? Build it or assembly is required. That's what it says on the box. Assembly is required. This is what we got to do. And so I'm going to let you go down to your parents, all right, again, man. But I'm going to tell you as you go, don't just read those instructions. Don't just come up here and choose it in front. Go and build that. Have fun with your brothers and sisters. Have fun with your dad and mom. Go and build it. All right, go back. You can go back to your seat. Thanks, bub. Lots of people have good intentions. Lots of people have good intentions. They can say the right things. They can post the right things on social media. But few are willing to put into the work, into building it, have the integrity to build it. Lots of people want the picture on the box. But few sit down to build it. Simply reading the Sermon on the Mount doesn't do us any good. Simply knowing the life of Jesus is not enough. Reading the instructions actually gets you nowhere. That's what a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people who have grown up in the church, you have so much information. A lack of information is not your problem. A lack of education is not your problem. Knowing right and wrong for many is not the problem. You are more educated than your obedience has been lived out. We've read instructions. But assembly is required. It takes the willingness to assemble these pieces together the way we are asked to build. Reading and knowing the instructions gives you the blueprint. Now it's time to assemble. Can I share a pastor frustration with you? I got a pastor frustration. Pastors allowed to get frustrated. I get frustrated sometimes. I get frustrated when I see people complain about life. I get frustrated when people come to me and complain about life. I get frustrated when I hear about other people complaining about life, complaining about others, complaining about God, blaming life about where your life is. And the question I want to ask is, well, what did you think life was going to be like? How did you think your life was going to be when you don't build it the way God has asked us to build our lives? What did you think was going to happen? You got the creator of life, of abundance, of order, and he shows us how to live. Maybe life isn't the problem. Maybe he isn't the problem. Maybe our circumstances aren't always the problem. Maybe if we have chosen a different way to build, we wouldn't be dealing with the consequences we're dealing with now in life. Maybe you can look at the details of your life and go, oh, maybe I went a different way. Maybe I chose a different design, and I need to get back to the way the picture on the box was supposed to look for my life. Now, understand this. You know that this doesn't happen overnight, right? Like building a life where you can say home, sweet home, doesn't happen over the night. But this Lego Taj Mahal took Drake, you know, 12 plus hours to build. You know that? You know what he told me this week? He said, that was the first time I'd ever built something like this. He said, if I did it now, it'd probably take me four or five hours. Says, I have some experience now. Like, it's tough to start going down the road of building the life the way God has called us to build. But you begin to go down that road, I promise you, it does get a little easier. Not always easy, but easier. You begin to build the way it's supposed to be built. The pieces begin to come together the way that it were designed to come together. Some of us never experience that because we're not doing it the way we are instructed to do it. It's not built on that proper foundation. Which leads me to what you see in front today. Something I love to do together, which is communion. I love having communion as a church because this is where life is supposed to start, right? This is ultimately the foundation that is we're building upon, is that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to rise again, so that we can find victory and hope, and everything we need in life is found in what's represented on these tables. When God sent Jesus, and then Jesus is there meeting with his disciples before he's about to die, and he says, hey, take this and remember. He wants us to remember where life is built, what it's been built on. He wants us to remember where forgiveness is found and where victory is found and where hope is found and where purpose is found and where all these pieces come together, where that is found. And so today we're going to take communion. And maybe for you, as you take communion, this is the time you need to say, you know what? I've been building my life the wrong way. What I've created, I really don't feel completely comfortable in. And maybe, God, it's not your fault. Maybe it's not the world's fault. Maybe it's my fault. I haven't been building it the way you've called me to build it. So today, as you take communion, you're like, God, I want to build it the way you called me to build it. Maybe today's a recommitment time for you to say, I knew better. I knew the instructions. I've read it, and I've just decided to choose another model of living. Maybe you're in here, though, and you've never chose that. You've your whole life have chosen something else. You've chosen something else. And you're like, forget it. I need to be done with that. I need to re-choose. I got to re-choose a design life that God has for me. And that life is found in accepting the forgiveness that's found in Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross for you. You can build a new life in him when you just admit, I'm a sinner. I've done life wrong, and life is found in you. So today, as ushers come and people come to prepare this, maybe before you get up here, you can decide, how am I building my life? Has it been created the way God's asked me to build? Is what I'm creating, can I say home sweet home? And if not, I'm going to take care of that today. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you love us. You have designed something specifically for us, and I thank you for that today. God, so many of us, what we've created is a mess. But you are the God that brings restoration to messes. You're a God that relieves us from our stupid mistakes. And God, today I want to say we want to build our life on you and how you've instructed us to live. You gave us a picture of what this looks like, and if we follow it, we can have our life built on a foundation that when things come at us, we're solid because we've built on you. And today, God, as we take communion, we finish today in worship, may we make the choice on what design and life we're going to live. May we not leave it for just, we'll see what comes today. May we not look around us and say we want something else. May we choose to live the life that we saw Jesus lived.